Hello, Rob Knapp. How are you this July day?
I'm great, thank you. Feeling terrific. Month eight. Wow.
That's kind of
Feels like we just got started, doesn't it?
what going fast.
Well, and that it yeah, and we talked about that exact thing on a meeting earlier today. We're the same way. We cannot believe that we started in, I guess it must have been September, I guess, but we talked about it in August or got set up and then, yeah, we've
8:10.
8:10. Okay.
8:10. Week one. Amazing. But you guys accomplished a lot in that time. Not quite a year. That's good. It's fast.
Yeah, we certainly feel like that's the case. We know we have a lot of things out there that we need to continually work on. As I've mentioned to you with my initial history, I'm now doing many more things well than I was doing then. It just takes time to keep at it.
I know. It's, you know, we were talking about it this morning. It isn't as, you know, anytime you're a teacher, right? You're a coach, you're a teacher. You're a teacher of your clients. You're a coach of your clients. And it isn't as much what you tell them, but what they learn, right? It's the difference between the teacher saying, I taught the class, and the student saying, I didn't learn anything. So one of the things that I'm trying to understand as a coach is that my obligation isn't as much to give you what I consider a really good idea as it is to make sure that I make it something that is, that fits in with your regular workflow and that you will actually adopt. All the good ideas in the world aren't worth anything if nobody adopts them. Right? So right. If I measure my good ideas not on how good an idea I think it is, but what is the level of adoption of the idea, that's the way you should measure your success. Not on being the most brilliant creator of new ideas. So I used an example. Before I do that, let's find out what's on your mind and then I'll go into the idea of how I've adopted it to make it, I think, better idea.
Okay. That would be great subject to discuss. Well, what's on my mind, the first for you is that we have still been unable to connect on a date to talk with Steve Michael.
So oh, okay.
I haven't, you know, I worked kind of with you and then with Cindy and then we, you know, back, and it's kind of been out there. And he is, with any day really will be located actually an officing in Kansas City as he's moved to Kansas City. And then he has, okay. We think multiple weeks. We're not really sure that then he'll take a licensing and test and those things. But I talked with him, Rob, and he said he would like to schedule something in the next couple of weeks since he'll be in our office and focused on it. So I don't know the best way to do that for you.
Well, like tomorrow, normally Tuesday is I've got to pick up my daughter. You know, it's a not work day for me. So Tuesday is always an open day, and if I can squeeze something in, I might. I work Monday and Wednesday, and I'm usually booked, literally. But Thursday, you know, I'm here in Nashville, so I don't play my regular golf games. So I'm more free here. So I'm pretty free on Thursdays and Fridays. I mean, okay.
So Thursday, so maybe just for throwing something out there, sometime mid-morning on a Thursday.
Yeah. Because I usually will, my granddaughter's usually doing some camp or something in the mornings, and then I've got her, 3 o'clock on till 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. and we go okay. play and do something. So.
Okay, I'll get Steve committed, and we talked about 15 minutes. It's an introduction. It's just to get him. I've told him about you, but it's just introducing you, and then let him tell you about his position now, what he views as his role in Kansas City and management, just to make the introduction, and then let you guys take it from there. So yeah. I will get that accomplished.
That's wonderful. Thanks. Okay.
All right. So that's first thing. And so I guess as far as what we wanted to talk about, we met earlier today and each of us offered up what we thought was something that we were challenged with, or that maybe we would like a little help, or maybe a second opinion, sure. or something right. about the things we've talked about in our area of coverage. You know, where we serve as director in our area, just thinking of one issue that we wanted to talk with you about to get accomplished this week or next week. I mean, this today or next month and the next two sessions. So we don't have to cover all of them. But each of us have something that we would like to discuss and get your feedback on. So that's really what we did in preparation for this meeting.
Very good.
So, that's what we had. And again, I don't know if we can cover all of them or if we want to just.
Okay. Fire when ready.
All right. Andrea, why don't you start?
Well, I was going to say you should start with yours. But I think, Rob, I kind of went back and thought through things. I'm back in the office 3 days a week, and I'm realizing our blue folders need a lot of attention. And we have no COI folders, so I need to work on getting that set up and getting those on the calendar. And then just ensuring that we have the right people on the Supernova and that we're calling them and that they're assigned out amongst everybody. I mean, it's almost a year, so I kind of feel like we need to do a purge and go through and make sure we're still segmented correctly.
Good. Okay. That's not a question.
I know. Right. Mine, I didn't. Let me get in there starting making the folders. By next month, I'll have a question.
Well, okay. I think here was your, well, but you, Andrea, here's what you, yes, that was what you had as an outline. But one of your questions really was, how do you know that all the right individuals are still, should be a part of of the Supernova contact management system? How many people are responsive? How many aren't? How often do you need to check on the days and say, is there a better day? How active do you need to be with the calendar? That was really one of the things you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier too.
All right. So let me just ask a question. Have you guys been virtually doing your 12-4-2s, or how's it been going?
Yes.
Virtual.
Yeah, so you're doing them, so you know who is on the calendar, who's setting them up. Is there just a number, because they may not be the same as the virtual, that the folder, looking at the folders, there might be a difference between?
There is. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what I think what we were trying to say is we've tried to have this shared drive on the computer yeah. where we'd make notes, put in the executive summary. And we can't, sometimes we can see it, sometimes we can't. The blue folders were easy. So now the blue folders have like this gap of like, months. A year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, so we're trying to get this stuff kind of back in order, and we don't want to dump what we were doing before, but it really wasn't as efficient as the blue folders.
Frankly, I love to hear that, to be honest with you.
Well, just the blue folder
kind of
like, you get.
I'm sort of retro, It's like.
I don't know, but so I guess the question, and maybe what maybe we don't have to spend a lot of time on it for her, but
I would just say go ahead and go through and match them up against the people that are in the scheduler. And if there aren't people in the scheduler, why aren't they, And then meet with the team and say, here are 12 people that I have folders for that aren't on the schedule. Why not? Okay. And then have them just you know, go through when you schedule all these people, you know, here's the list, everybody. These are the ones that are scheduled. These are the ones I'm going to schedule. Scream if somebody should be reassigned to somebody else. Or that guy left. He's not with the firm anymore. You know, he's gone, you know. So just sort of before you put them all in a scheduler, just make sure that they're still alive and well and have a good relationship and all that stuff. And then the other thing to do is to just, I mean, periodically go back and look at everybody's availability and calendars. Are, you know, just like you and I just talked. I mean, my calendar stays pretty static. But if we're going to be out prospecting more and seeing more clients, is are the team's calendars going to start to look a little different? Or because of COVID, do they look a little different? You know, do you want to have the same schedule that you originally signed up for? If we're going to give you more clients, are you available on these days? Or is that a prospecting day? Or do you got to, you know, that's when you coach baseball or something. I don't know. So just kind of those two things, make sure you match those up. Availability, need, availability for both the clients and you guys. You guys first. You look at the first list first and then talk about where they should be placed and then get the client to agree to that. That's the difference here. We're client-centric. We're all about client service, but we must take into account balance in our lives and making sure that we're enjoying our life and that this whole program fits in with that life. Otherwise, you'll figure out a way to not do it. Okay.
Okay. I mean, that's helpful. I think the thing I just, what I heard you say and Andrew, what I heard Rob say is it's a continual process where you again ask us together, are things change in our schedules? Do we, and what has, and just, it's like a dynamic kind of scheduling. It doesn't have, right. It'd have to stay exactly in place without your input. So that was helpful. So
yes.
All right. Who's, I don't know, Andy or Tim.
Well, Rob, my question for you was, I would be interested in your perspective and input on, I've been a little challenged at, my community outreach in terms of board involvement. And, just some of your experiences and best practices in terms of reaching out to boards as opposed to boards reaching out to you, which has sort of been my more normal experience. And I'd just be curious as to, again, your thoughts and opinions on how you've seen that work.
Well, I would suggest that you guys get together and list the social organizations that you are a part of now or have ever been a part of. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then do a gap analysis against the most important organizations in your community. All right. So that's the way we would do any marketing effort. What's our gap? And then I like the idea of going through and, you know, how we asked our clients if they can enthusiastically endorse their CPA and their attorney and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We're basically asking the same question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your charitable giving organization?
I see.
Yeah. And you really don't even have to do that, but basically you simply ask each of your clients, you know, I've Mr. Andy Reese, I've got a little more time on my hands and I'm interested in giving back to the community. You know, what's been your experience on boards in our community? right? Boy, that's
with
great...
that said, Rob, I know there's one that's really tied into the corporate culture here in Kansas City, and it as probably throughout Indianapolis or other groups, and that's the local chapter of the United Way.
Yep.
And I know that we, I love donating Gary's time. I think that that is a big piece that I've talked to multiple prospects about, you know, clients about, is being associated with the local chapter and trying to be on the board there.
Yep.
There's a couple of people, you know, Frank Caro, Gary's one name that comes to mind, where he asked, hey, are we a part of that organization? And can we have somebody be on the board of that organization? This is a guy with a prominent local law firm. And so that's my question to you is, do you have any tips for, because when you talk about getting together, doing gap analysis and trying to understand which groups would be the most important groups to affiliate with, that's probably top three.
Okay. So let me give you a little history of me in Indianapolis, because it's, you know, they're parallel cities, right? I-70 corridor. I made a few mistakes. I did a little more what Tim is talking about. I sort of went where I was asked. And that was fine because I was a rookie, you know, in the town. But interestingly enough, one of the things that I was on the cover of the Indianapolis Business Journal with like four other guys. It was sort of up and coming executives in the community, right? So when I first got there and I was a young manager, and they picked me and they picked CPA firm and a bank and realtor, and, you know, and what I should have done is I should have said to those guys, let's form a little mastermind group. Let's see where we are 20 years from now, you know. So that's just one thing that comes to mind is, you know, having somebody whisper in your ear, you should have somebody on your board at this. That's money right there.
Okay.
Because different organizations, you know, I had a guy call me and say, you know, there's this downtown organization that we all give to, and it's designed to keep downtown clean and just really make it a special place. So we make sure the place is clean and has flowers and looks great. And I said, that's good. I'm looking at all the different options of things that we're giving to, and you know, I'll get back to you. And he goes, no, you don't understand. We all give to this. I go, okay.
Because it's a heavyweight group. It, you know, it's affiliated with people, with companies that are passionate about giving. And this is about you, but it's about all of us too. Gary would have to, it's got to be Gary. And then Tim's got groups, and then I'd have groups. But that's just one I was thinking off the top of my head.
But I mean, you know, and sometimes it's just everybody goes and just stamps, you know, puts a stamp on it and leaves. But if it's not, and it's really something where you want to be president, and if you are president, you know, you take your turn, it's a big deal. Okay.
It's a heavyweight deal. Yeah.
Yeah. You're thought of as a leader in the community. You kind of are part of the overall leadership of the community. And in Kansas City, if you can give that reputation, that's bringing a lot of money in.
Okay.
Okay. So that's your answer, but you need to know what those organizations are, and that, you know, and it's unique because there are people that run your town.
Yeah.
And you want to know them. And hopefully you like them and they're nice human beings. And you can be one of those people. Sometimes it's, you know, take them or leave them, but, and what happens is once you get in that circuit, then you leave one board and you go on another because they know you're good at this. So you're just constantly move from board to board, and you see all the same people, you know, at the opera ball, at the eyeball, at the heart ball, they're all the same people. They're all given and you're all in your tuxedos walking around and your friends, and those are the people that have all the money. Okay. So yeah, so that's the bottom line. In New York, it's going to be different. In Davenport, it's going to be different than Kansas City, but Kansas City is the right sized town where you can, with some decent money, be a player. You don't have to have a lot of money. You can have decent money and be a player in that community, but you're going to need to write a check for 20 grand or something.
Well, that's where Gary's talked about. He's smiling. He knows that that's where, that's part of it.
Yeah. You know, a team asked me the other day, what should we be giving to charity? I said, probably 100,000. You know, spread it around, but don't give five, give four, five fours, or something. Give 20 grand to five organizations. And then you're a player and they all see you as a player, and, you make a 5-year gift of 20,000, that's 100 grand committed to over 5 years to five organizations. Now you're a player. They step back. By the way, you also can use the firm. If you're the chairman of an organization and you apply to your organization, to your foundation, and to the rest of them, you'll get money for capital. Yeah, they don't usually like to spend for capital spending, but they will spend for other things. General operating budget. They'll give 25,000, 50,000 to your organization. So, but this is, again, like any other marketing. Nobody does it. Nobody does this except for the smart guys. The Bernie Madoffs, they figured it out a long time ago.
Yeah, they did. I had made a note here. This is one thing I was going to talk with our new branch manager about, Steve Michael, who's never been a branch manager. Explain to him what we're asking about, why. And I have that as one of the important parts of our discussion.
Yeah, and it's just impact in the community. When I was in Chicago, we gave $400,000, $100,000 checks to like five different organizations. And nobody would even go to deliver the checks, show up at the opera ball or show up on the stage of the opera. And I said, I'm running the little merchandise mart. I said, I'll be at every one. Mm-hmm. I knew what it took to get me 100 grand at the time. I didn't have 100 grand. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was all over those things. I was involved in more civic stuff. And guess what? The guys, my guys loved it. They didn't want to go, but they loved me being involved. That was what, you go be the face and make friends with those people and bring us accounts.
Mm-hmm. So when you were a manager, Rob, you advocated on behalf of the firm to be affiliated with the community and also empowered your advisors to be affiliated with the community and incentivize them to do so. That's one thing that I bet, Gary's probably going to talk a bit to Mr. Michael about as well, is saying, Kansas City Chamber of Commerce, and these are the different groups, and getting affiliated so that we can get in there and get our name out there so that people know the difference between, UBS and UPS.
Right.
USB.
USB.
Sorry, because they're a great port company.
So it was really important to get it. And I told people, I'm not going to give to your organization until you're president. When you become president of your organization, then I will get you a check from the Merrill Foundation or from someplace. Hmm. I'd give them $2,000 or something, but I wouldn't give them big money until they... And we gave money, on the boards that I was on, I'd give, and then I'd have the firm give. And so we had pretty good splash. And then I had the guys doing just what you're talking about. Now there, I had a little more control. Not much, but a little more. And I'd go to Gary and I'd say, I'd like everybody on the team to be on two boards. And Gary'd say, what are you talking about? And I'd say, yeah, think about the impact. If everybody on this and your team's on two boards and your wives are on boards and that spreads through the whole community, we're going to be on every board in every, in the whole city. We're going to own the city. And that's our obligation, by the way, to own the city and to serve the city. So it wasn't a joke. It wasn't a marketing effort. We were there to serve and to make an impact and to change the community, make it better. And there was nobody showing up from other firms, which was fine by us.
Yeah.
So that's why I teach it. I mean, I've seen it work. I've seen it work. I've seen it, not me. I've seen it work with other FAs, you know, and Gary, you get it. I mean, you've been so successful at this. You understand it. I think you all get it. Tim, you understand. So yeah, you guys make a budget for your complex, for your group, and then take that budget when you go to see Steve and say, this is our budget. We'd like a match from you guys. Something. You know, we're going to give $100,000 to the community this year. We'd like to have $50,000 from the office. Well, that's more than my whole budget. We go, well, give us what you can. But they're going to want to help him at the firm. Okay. This is a master experiment on the part of the firm. He's not being placed there by a local regional director. He's being placed there by probably the president of the firm. And so he's going to have a pipeline to somebody to get money. And if it's related to diversity, it's probably even more interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good, Rob. Thank you. That was really, really good discussion.
Really, you're welcome. Good.
All right. Andrew Gustafson.
Yeah, I wanted to just take a few hours to talk and pick your brain about planning. I wanted some advice on, because I'm falling short. One of my goals in our business plan was to, for every single individual for which a plan was appropriate, which is the majority of the clients, to build a financial plan or update their financial plan.
Yep.
No excuses. I've just fallen behind on that. Having the team remote might have put a kind of a hitch in getting in front of everybody to say, here's the clients you're lead on and here's the plans that are outstanding and there need to be updated, et cetera. I think that where I'm falling short is the method by which I find these people and basically put it all together. So, you know, going into Gary's calendar, looking at either the supernovas or, you know, butlers, et cetera, and then circling back, connecting with Gary, saying, here are the individuals that you've got coming up over the next month or 2 months or 3 months. I'd like to get on the calendar to be able to update or, you know, the plan. That is what I thought would be the most efficient way to do this. Do you have any other comments on how to efficiently, basically I can run any kind of report I want,
right,
and say, here are the ones that don't have a plan or that need an updated plan. It hasn't been updated for a year or so. And we're only updating it every year. There's not a whole lot of value in doing it. You know, I'm not doing it quarterly. Is there any tips that you have for getting this done? I want to get 75% to 100% of all of our current clients, their plans updated or one created for them.
I think the way you're going about it is ambitious. I think it can be more efficient.
Good. Okay.
Okay. First of all, I would work closer with Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
And make it, how would I do it? I'm not sure exactly how I would do it, but First of all, I'd probably list all the clients on a spreadsheet and see when was the last time they were updated. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Now keep in mind, updating the plan, I mean, you got to define that, right? To me, an updated plan, the only difference between that and what we do every month with our 24-month calendar, introducing long-term care, that's all financial planning, okay? Mm-hmm. The only difference that I would suggest is once a year doing a net worth statement and a cash flow analysis. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two things. Maybe if there's going to be a disruption with estate taxes, then, or the person's right on the line with estate taxes, 23 mm-hmm. million or something, mm-hmm. then I would suggest that estate analysis be done. Okay. The majority of clients are going to fall under that. So those two things are not that hard to do in a state, you know. So, and I probably don't need that every year, honestly. I think every 2 years would be fine. I think that'd give you a little more leeway. I want to have every client have a plan.
Right.
I don't think it needs to be updated. I like my cash flow analysis updated annually, okay, at least. My net worth statement, you don't need to do that, but maybe you do. Okay, so let's just say we do it every year. Mm-hmm. I think that's doable, okay? But I got to know if I'm going to help out the team. I think the answer, honestly, is everybody's responsible for their own clients. Mm-hmm. They got their own 1242. They got their own calendar. They got their own everything. They should know when the last time it was updated, and they should give that to you. I don't think you're responsible for going and checking up on them. If they get pushback, then maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that if I've got 70 clients, I know pretty much my calendar and when I last updated the plan.
So Gary does that already, you know, basically reaching out to say, hey, this person needs their plan updated. I think we just need to make sure that we're just continuing to do that, because he does that anyways. And we talked a couple of years ago about the importance of a net worth statement, especially the net worth statement and a cash flow analysis, and how helpful that is to finding money.
Oh,
and
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were the reasons why we were trying to do this. And I think that naturally updates the plan. And as you're talking to your clients, they say, hey, I'm switching jobs, or I'm retiring in 4 or 5 years, and I need to make sure that, you know, all these scenarios we're looking at, I need to pick the right one. So those are, you know.
Here's what I would do. I would have you coordinate with Andrea, make up a master list, you know, each 3 guys, right? Master list of clients, and then last updates, just simple spreadsheet. And then even put down then, you know, I love the idea of it, because you're incorporating everything, not just the account here. So it's consolidating statements from other places. It's including real estate. It's, you know, people have had amazing appreciation. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are accounts that are up 100% in the last 3 years. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's just not even weird, right? So they went from 10 to 20 million, or they went from 20 to 40 million. We think, wow, $40 million account. That's just a good account now.
Mm-hmm. You know, Andy, I picked up on something that Rob said that I kind of turned the light on for me, and maybe this is part of it. When we think of updating the plan, what we're talking about is this big, you know, meeting, and it's going to take an hour, and you get a conference room, and, you know, all of that stuff. That's not what he's talking about, which it really just kind of turn the light on for me. He basically is saying, and I'm talking to whatever, let's say Don Pello, someone who's an account of ours. And we say, annually, as you know, we like to update the cash flow and a net worth statement. We're at that time of the year. So I'm whatever, going to send them to you, or I'm going to read them off or whatever. And it could take, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then you can make the plan final hearing that, and we move on. Versus, Rob, what we were kind of doing is we're kind of doing a, you know, it's a full, you sit down and you start going through every little thing. And I mean, it's just, it's a lot of work. I mean, time. And then we've been struggling with that. So Andy, I think, you know, just that right there told me that we're overthinking it, really.
I mean, I'm your client. Okay. I know what I need, and you're meeting with me every month. It's not like we're not seeing each other.
Right.
So we're doing 12-4-2. Remember, 12-4-2 is four reviews of the plan, two of them in person. So we're looking at things, and that plan can be just part of the agenda, right? So, right. So we're reviewing things all the time. But right now, what I'm telling you is probably some people are starting to get out of whack, even if we don't have tax changes, where their net worth is now in the 25, 30, $40 million range. If you include everything, the house just went from 3 to 6 or 2 to 4 million, right? And that property they had up in Wisconsin is, you know, is worth a lot of money now. You know, they got some, they got a, you know, paper mill on their property or something. So it's things that that's really what we're looking for. We're looking for something that we didn't see. And now we gotta sit down and do some estate planning. We gotta get sell them some second to die or do some clever strategic plan to take care of these taxes unless he's happy to pay the government.
But I think focusing in is just that's pretty important because it frees up time for other stuff. And I like that a lot more than creating work for work's sake, which is what I'm talking about.
No, you know, you just had a grandchild. Great. Let's do a UGMA. Let's do a 529. We'll take care of that. You don't want to be talking, that's for the once a year old analysis we used to do, right? You don't need to do it. You can be updating that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should be updating their own plans, their own information for the plan, periodically rerun it, make sure it's okay. But, you know, once a year, you know, make sure that cash flow the cash flow analysis could have changed a lot. I mean, with these retired people, it changes a lot. All deferred comp is gone now, and now they're just dependent on retirement, but they've got this over here, and that's kicking in now, and da-da-da. So they don't know exactly. They feel good because their stocks are up, but they don't know. And they see the boogeyman around the corner looking at them going, I want your money, right? We're going to have a $3 trillion bill here. No, it's going to be $6 trillion. And you guys are the ones who are going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And the clients are like, Gary, Tim, Andy, can you protect me from this person? I don't know he's really there, but I look in my closet. I think he's there.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that's really insightful. And I'll connect with Andrew and kind of talk a little bit more about how to get this streamlined. Cause then that, you know, that's another good goal. And then the other piece, and Gary might mention, talk on this too. We're kind of tightening up our, LinkedIn presence as a unit, as a team, and, our website presence. So things are moving along. We've made a lot of progress in the past number of months.
We just updated all of our photos last week, Rob. We haven't been able to do that because Andy, you know, has been on the team during COVID as an example. So, we haven't been able to update all of those. We have someone that does a, like an hourly support marketing person within the firm that does some work for us. We brought him over also. That's a good idea just to show a, you know, even a more,
more
depth on the team. Took a number of different pictures we thought we would use for different marketing pieces or, you know, situations, I guess. And we haven't yet seen the pictures, but I'm pretty excited about them. It's a photographer we had used before. So we just did all of that. And Andy has been meeting. He is taking over the LinkedIn, kind of leadership. We're meeting, I think every 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. And, having good, healthy debates. Andy and I want to post regularly. Tim's given us the stiff arm. Tim's right sometimes. Andy, you know, so it's a good, you know, kind of back and forth. We're all finding our way and, so I think he's right. We're working on that social presence, that part. So that's happened in the last month. So
Tim wants to post recent recipes he's tried. We're trying to do intellectual content that, you know, I'm doing planning and he's doing investments. Then Tim's got, you know, latest chili recipe or something. No, I'm kidding.
I would have Tim be in charge of Facebook.
So would I with that.
I'm kidding.
Okay. So, then you want to get to me or you want to get to your point and then save me for next month?
No, you go ahead. I'd rather. Right.
Well, I just thought it would be,
good. This is good for Andy Reese here.
Yeah. So
this good. Has nothing to do with Supernova half the time, right? It's just common sense and analysis.
Well, sometimes when you're outside of it, you have a little different perspective than those of us.
Common sense isn't common either.
You know, so mine is more, and this is really just for me as I share some of the, our visions with the team. I have had, this is something I, as you know, have adopted since, 2015. So I have really, I'm now, you know, 6 and 7 years with many of these people, and I've read, you know, I read on the website, I subscribe to the Supernova website, kind of look for best practices and all of that. Sometimes, though, you know, I really think that they probably are, it's a bit of a burden sometimes. And then sometimes, you know, I'm delicate enough or whatever, but my assumption is, this is kind of the question or the comment. My assumption is if somebody is a client for 25 years, then in a perfect world, you've talked to them, you know, or touch base every month for the last 25 years. Right. That's my assumption.
Yep.
Okay. You know, that's not that there's an end game in sight, but
here's the thing,
you know,
the end game is we're all going to die. In the meantime, we're all fellow planeteers spinning around this little crazy ball, right? One of us just went out to the edge of atmosphere Sunday. All right. So we're all trying to get off the planet now, but, we have a lot in common, more in common than we don't. And you have an opportunity to build a friendship every month for the rest of their life and to help them with some of the most important decisions of their whole life. And that's your job. Help people make better decisions. Well, and it doesn't matter, Gary, what it's about, because it could be about a grandchild. It could be about anything. It could be about a teenager having a drug problem, but you've got the right psychologist to help them with it. So our job is really to listen and to learn and to help them. We're financial advisors, but we're friends and we're almost like the family coach that can help them get through whatever they need to get through. And that's why we have to be there for them. And why when somebody passes away, you go, time out, guys. I got to spend more time with this person. So I'm going to go see them and kind of coach them through this because this is hard. And you take my calls. Okay. So people say, well, isn't that getting too involved? I said, no, who else? Who else is there? Who's their quarterback in their life? Right? They're turning over their money to you. They're really turning over sort of the leadership of the family to you in some ways. And so they're the CEO of their company, their family, but you're the CFO, you're the chief financial officer. So you're critical to them in every decision. And the bigger the family, the more critical. The more you can gradually become more like a family office group, the more rewarding this job will become. Because in reality, you know, that's what it's all about, right? How many friends could you make? How many meaningful decisions were you able to help them with? Were you able to make some lives better because you lived on this planet? So yeah, it's a burden and sense of responsibility, but guys are smart. So you get a chance to listen to a client every month, even if it's 15 or 20 minutes. That's great. And I'm not preaching to them. I'm talking about listening to them. And every family, by the way, has the family problem. And I always say, if your family doesn't have the family problem, then maybe you're it. Because we all have them. Anyway.
I think Gary's computer might have froze.
Either that or I just shocked.
I don't think he's not that good. There he is. Okay. Maybe it didn't freeze. Okay.
Was it just me that just left the meeting? Just
you, Gary. He had a very big point and it froze and you were contemplating for a while.
Place with my, the impact of my words just froze you.
It was frozen. Well, here's what, okay. It actually did. I was writing and I looked down. I looked I'd left the meeting, but you were basically saying what I was kind of talking to these guys about earlier, which is we're helping clients. And so in doing this, expanding and having an enthusiastically endorsed person for everything, providing some help, you know, the servant leader, all that stuff. The end game basically is that you continue to be more and more help to people, which is what our job is.
Yes.
I mean, that was what I heard you saying. And then I was so shocked by it. They were so eloquent. I guess I must have
froze. You know, in The Godfather, right? The conciliare, right? The lawyer, the guy that takes care of the family, brings balance to the craziness, tries to provide some judgment. That's you guys.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I like that. We're the conciliare. That's good.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, in truth, right? Because you think, I don't really have much to say. Well, good. That was probably the time when you finally broke through, which was, it's not about you. It's about them. So you have time to listen.
It is.
Nobody listens to them.
Well, that, yes. I mean, all of that, of course, is right. But it's also, they ask all kinds of questions. I get all kinds of questions about stuff that does not have anything to do with, you know, the account. I mean, Andrea, like think of Pam Buttermeyer, you know, I mean, that, you know, she will wait. She goes, I've been waiting for you to call. I've got, you know, I've got this identity theft and I've got, you know, all this stuff, you know? So, but that was
Maggie
been
who didn't want to buy her car today unless she had talked to you.
Yes. I mean, and I talk with, yes. That's a perfect example. But see, the only difference in that is I didn't really, with Pam Buttermeyer, I didn't have an attorney who would have skills in identity theft or could help. I didn't know what to do.
Right.
You know?
But you will now.
Yeah, and that's why I made this note here, because that's the point of all what we're talking about. I have this list and the more help, you know, I get it. I mean, that clicked.
Somebody's son-in-law gets a traffic ticket for, you know, reckless driving. You got the lawyer to call.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, that's crazy, I'm getting that phone call. That's the celebration call. When they call you before they buy a car or lease a car, now you know you've done your job. Yeah. Now you're the family office group. Now you're everything to them. So celebrate that phone call. Don't go, oh my God, why do I have to do this? You remember when we started CMA and nobody wanted to open up a checking account? No, I'm not a banker, for God's sakes. I'm a broker. Mm-hmm. How far we've come from that. Just think about it, right? With trades are free, right? What are we being paid for?
Yeah, you know, consultation on all sorts of things, not just investments.
Right.
Right.
And that's when they'll remember you, and that's when they'll remember you. I mean, that's when they'll refer you. My brother had a practice almost exclusively of women, and they would be, because they felt as though he was very trustworthy, he listened, and he liked them. You know, he liked them, he listened to them, and they felt safe. They trusted him. And he had widows and divorcees, and they just flocked to him. And but he would take care of them. He'd take them mm-hmm. to lunch. He'd make them feel safe and secure, and life was good, and they trusted him, and that was it. He had a nice practice. And I'm just like, wow, you got to admire that, right? Just kind of good guy. Still just as lovable a guy as he ever was. You know, just a lovable human being, and people still love him. They really missed him. He used to take the governor's wife, she was 94, he'd take her out to lunch every month.
Mm-hmm.
She was the only one. He was the only person in her life pretty much at that point. Mm. So it was hard for him to retire, really hard. Yeah.
So, well, that's what we have. So,
you skipped over one big thing.
What?
The important thing was what answering your question. See, that's the same with your clients. The important thing is to getting, next time we talk, I will go through the, how to get referrals without asking. Okay.
Right.
Remind me. I'll write it.
Thank you. And, perfect. And you will hear, I will send an email to you. I'll put urgent, you know, in it or whatever. When I'll look at a Thursday in the next few weeks and.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. All what else? Andy, did you find this interesting? What are you?
No, this is great. We were talking earlier today about, you know, just succinctly the whole focus, and it's just all about improving the client experience. And that's what Rob said. So.
Yeah.
Just reinforce that, with all of you.
Good questions. And frankly, it's so interesting for me to answer questions rather than just pontificate. I pontificate enough.
Hey, I know the feeling on my end, believe me. I know what you mean.
I was going to add, Gary had his first referral from a mastermind group.
You were?
Oh, yeah.
Past cup. Yeah. See, you didn't even think about that.
What happened?
Gary has a mastermind group that he's been working with, and we got our first referral and account from that group.
Yeah. He's going to fall over. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
It's
good.
And a good one. A good one?
Yeah, it's a good one. We didn't get, the whole, you know, it was just a, I mean, dollar wise, it's 500,000 cash, but it's because he just kind of got we will start and it'll become, you know, well over our target minimums, I'm sure. But yeah. This was the initial introduction. He came into the office, took my advice and we're setting it up, and it all came through mastermind conversation. Yeah.
Right. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's a natural thing, but. We have to be sort of unnatural for a while until it becomes natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Andrea, but that's right. That happened in the last month.
Yeah.
Made my day. Thank you.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.